What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Pickleball Connection Podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to hang out with you today. We took last week off, so we're glad to be back on the pod. We have some interesting topics for you today, kind of talking about some of the latest news in the pickleball world. We're going to bring up some kind of local rec night type scenarios, as well as kind of some updates as what's going on in pickleball. So some kind of hot topics for you today. Are you ready to get started?
Let's get into it. This first topic has to do with kind of one of our favorite subjects on this pod, which is the paddle drama continues. So if you guys haven't seen some of our previous episodes on the Yola Gen 3 paddles, it's not just referring to them, but just hot paddles in general. We've had this conversation about how it just feels like scary that some of these paddles have been approved and, you know, people have gotten hit in the eye. You know, I've gotten hit in the face and, you know, the paddles are just getting hotter and hotter. It's changing the game. You know, we could go into all that stuff. But for a while, things kind of settled down because the USA Pickleball, you know, delisted Yola Gen 3s. And so things kind of settled down. But as of late, there is some more drama with hot paddles. So, did you hear what happened with the UPAA versus USA Pickleball?
Yeah, so we do have kind of an update when it comes to as we've kind of talked in a previous podcast about the kind of split on the governing bodies in pickleball. So, just briefly updating you, or just briefly kind of going back. The USA Pickleball, or USAP, has kind of been the governing body in pickleball since like 1984. Recently, the UPAA was formed, which is kind of the governing body of the PPA Tour and MLP, which is the Professional Pickleball Association, and Major League Pickleball, which is the professional team format. So we basically had, like as Danae was saying, the USA Pickleball, the USAP, started to delist these hot paddles. Well,
USA Pickleball started to delist, not...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
There's a lot of acronyms. I'm getting lost.
Yeah, so the USAP, USA Pickleball, started to delist these paddles. Well, we didn't really know what was going to happen. There's this kind of lawsuit that was happening between Yola and USA Pickleball. And everyone was freaking out because they had bought these new Yola paddles and they couldn't use them. Well, then we saw Yola basically come out with what was called the Mod 3 or Mod TA, sorry, something like that. It's basically like the pro, they're calling it the pro version, but it basically was a Gen 3 that was painted differently, is what a lot of people have seen.
Right. And to just further go into that, one of the top paddle reviewers, in my opinion, is Chris Olson on the Pickleball Studio. Really respect him. He cut it open, both the Gen 3 and the Mod, and they looked identical, like everything specs the same.
So a lot of people, you know, that weren't playing with the paddle were kind of upset because they're basically saying this paddle was delisted. It's illegal. And now there's this other version of it that looks differently. That's basically the same paddle that's approved. So it was kind of like a very interesting period. But what's really interesting, what we wanted to update you on, is the UPAA. So this is the new governing body has started to put out their own certification or their own, what do you call it? certification.
Yeah, their own approval list.
Approvals. So basically, at this latest pro tournament, you saw pro pickleball players playing with paddles that were not USA pickleball approved, as has been the standard since the 1980s. But now they have a stamp on them that says UPAA approved. So this is interesting for a couple of reasons. YOLO then comes out and releases this Gen 3S. Basically, they slapped an S behind the Gen 3. Looks the exact same. And it is not approved by USA Pickleball, but it is approved by the UPA.
So pause here, because there's just a lot of information. Couple things I want to highlight. One, the pickleball community was in a massive uproar because these paddles were dangerous. That was kind of the bottom line. It's changing the game and it's just dangerous. Now these paddles are A, now approved for UPA tournaments and such. And B, also they have approved paddles that they're playing with that are basically the same thing that are now approved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically we bring this up for a couple of reasons. One, I think this gets very confusing for people that are entering into the sport. Now you have these two different paddle approval certifications where some paddles a paddle that you could play with in this tournament, especially on the amateur level, a paddle that you could play with on this tournament, you can't play with in this tournament, and vice versa. So it just creates this very confusing kind of, okay, why are the standards different, first of all, between mm-hmm. these two companies, and which we're going to get into. But also, it's just confusing because now there's not just one governing certification that makes a paddle approved.
And can we just talk about, like, now mods are just around and we have to be okay with it? Like,
well, not that, like I said, not just mods, but they now have
the Gen 3S.
The Gen 3S, which is basically the same thing.
So we basically have the whole hot paddle issue all over again.
And they kind of got around it because, okay, it's like if you have two parents, you know, and you go to one and you ask them,
mom said yes, or mom said no, but what does dad say?
Right. You know? Mom said no, you can't go out. You got to be home for curfew. And then you go ask dad, and dad's like, oh, you can. It's the same concept. It's like the USA Pickleball said no, but now the cooler parent, UPAA, said yes. So, you know, we've brought up in previous episodes how hot paddles are changing the game, games being played much faster. It brings up safety issues. And I want to bring up this one piece, and that's I saw on a podcast of kind of a friend of ours. They had Jason Aspis on mm-hmm. the podcast, which Jason Aspis is one of the founders of The Kitchen, which The Kitchen has a massive platform on.
It's an online community.
Online community. But he was hired to run the UPA. And Jason was on there basically saying, you know, people want power paddles. That's I saw this clip of him saying, you know, people want power paddles. So we're in this, we don't want to change the game, but we want to give the people what they want. And for me, I'm like, first off, I don't think that's necessarily true. I don't think the mass majority of the public wants a power paddle. I think high level players want power paddles. But I think that the mass majority of players actually prefer control paddles. Because the mass majority of players, like 90% plus of pickleball players, are beginner to intermediate. The advanced or pro level pickleball player makes up such a small percentage of the market. So I don't know that it's true that people want power paddles.
Well, even let's play the game though. Even if they wanted power paddles, just because you want it doesn't mean it's good. Like, just because I want to eat dessert every day doesn't mean it's actually good. Like, so even if people want it, it doesn't mean it's good for the game. Like,
right.
It's just changing the game. It changes the game.
And furthermore, I think what's interesting about this is Jason Aspis has interest in The Kitchen, and The Kitchen can make a lot of money on affiliate type links and sales. So I just think it's interesting that he has controlling interest in what happens with the UPA, and he's able to profit on paddle sales. Like, that doesn't necessarily seem, you know, and, you know, just from, I'm not trying to like make judgments, but that doesn't seem from the outside perspective like that it's a good thing. Especially, I heard that the UPAA is a for-profit company.
Yes,
correct?
It is.
And the USA Pickleball is a nonprofit.
Yes.
And so what I'm hearing is not just with paddles, but under, this is the same company, the UPAA. This is the same company that has come out and said that they are going to be charging paddles starting in 2025, $100,000.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But there's been many sources that have confirmed.
Hasn't been denied, but allegedly.
Hasn't been denied. $100,000 per paddle company starting in 2025, plus $5,000 per SKU. So every single paddle model that comes out, shape, different paddle, different SKU, an additional $5,000. So it's just putting off to me, like, do we care? Does the UPA really care about the growth of pickleball? Do they really care about what's best for the sport? Do they really care about the entry-level player, Bob, shows up to the pickleball court, first time ever playing, just got off as work of work as a janitor. He shows up, somebody gives him a paddle. He gets smoked in the face by a Gen 3 because Betty on the other side of the net can't control it. He gets hit in the eye. He's done. He's not coming back to play pickleball. He's done playing pickleball. Maybe he's done, but he's also done playing pickleball. So what I'm saying is, this can't be good for the growth of the sport. The reason that we love the sport of pickleball is because of the barrier to entry. It's easy to go out there and have fun. This is why it's grown. And there's a big thing that separates, you know, a big distance that separates low level and high level players. But we love this sport because it can be very fun at a low level. Now you start putting weapons. It's like putting, you know, again, putting something dangerous in the hand of a child. Like you wouldn't put a knife in the hand of a child, right? People that are more skilled and older and more mature, they can control a sharp knife, but you wouldn't put that in the hand of a child. And we're putting these paddles in hands of players that can't control them.
And again, even if you can control it, it's still changing the integrity of the game.
It is. And I think, I mean, because, yeah, you have senior pro women, you know, you put one of these in their hands and they could maybe hit the ball as hard as a pro man that doesn't have, like, it just changes the fabric of how the game is played.
Absolutely. And again, like, the balls that you would let out that would normally be going out are in, you know. It's just changing everything about the game. Everything.
So I think it's just interesting, you know, kind of wrapping up my thoughts, is that I just have question marks. It feels a little wrong to me. And I'm not saying that the UPA has ill intent. Maybe them charging paddle companies $100,000, maybe they're trying to...
Maybe it's a good thing.
Well, maybe they're trying to shrink the pool because there's so many paddles that are approved.
Which,
that it's hard to regulate when you have that many. So maybe I could see them trying to boil it down to... It's much easier to moderate, you know, paddles when there's 12 companies versus 2,000 companies. So, but... At the same time, I'm like, it just feels like the standards, why are the standards so different? I understand a line has to be drawn somewhere, but I think hearing the person that's in charge of the UPA, Jason Aspis, say people want power paddles, I think that's just a very, that statement is very, maybe real for one.
It's very biased.
It's very biased towards maybe one very small percentage of the pickleball community as well. And maybe there needs to be pro specific paddles that can't be played with in amateur tournaments, that can only be played with pro to pro. I mean, I don't really know, but
I'm going to just say this in layman terms. It feels like a big money grab. The UPA feels like a big money grab.
It does feel that way, you know? And again,
I'm with you. I'm like, do we know everything? No, but from the outside looking in, it's hard to look at that and be like, feels non-biased. Like, no, there feels like there's a bias, feels like the dollar signs are speaking. Yeah. That's just my personal opinion. You guys feel free to comment. Actually, I would love to know what you guys think. Comment below your thoughts.
Yeah. And the thing is, what I think is kind of sad, I mean, it's just because pickleball is growing so much, everybody wants in, but, you know, pickleball is also just becoming more expensive in general. You know, it's becoming, you know, I saw the other day that even USA Pickleball, you know, for nationals, they're charging $250 for an entry fee to nationals this year in Mesa, which is this big golden ticket qualifier type tournament. And it's $250 to register plus $65 an event. So if you want to play two events, it's $380.
It's crazy.
Maybe because they're getting into money trouble. They're worried about the UPA and YOLA and lawsuits. Maybe they're trying to recuperate some money. I don't know. But pickleball in general is just kind of, it's kind of getting outrageous. Entry fees, paddle prices, I still think are very inflated. For the most part, I think they keep going up. I mean, I get things are just getting more expensive. But yeah, I'm with you. It does just feel from the outside looking in like a big money grab. And the question is, I'm okay with a business. Yeah, be profitable. Like, that's what business is about. I get it. But we also have to protect
the game. You know, like, make money, but like, protect the game and protect the people. And right now, I feel like the game's in jeopardy, and I feel like the people are in jeopardy. And that makes me sad because. Yeah. I want everybody to be able to play and enjoy the sport that I love and change my life. So I would love to know what you guys think. Go ahead and comment below what you feel like, even in regards to the paddles, you know, having basically different names for the same paddle now that are approved, and now having two different governing bodies that have two different approved paddle lists. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts. Leave them in the comments below.
Yeah, maybe you guys think it's a good thing, you know, that.
Yeah,
maybe you like all the hot paddles and you think it makes it fun for you. I don't know. I've just talked to the majority of people that are on the other side. So yeah, let us know in the comments.
Should we go to the next one?
Yeah, let's go to the next one. Hey guys, real quick, we do want to briefly mention Selkirk backpacks. We really love the backpacks that Selkirk has put out. They're really functional, really versatile. They look really sharp. We use them when we play and we use them when we travel.
Actually, last time we were in the airport, we packed our Selkirk backpacks for basically our luggage. And the person behind us was like, whoa, like, those are such cool backpacks. Like, it's awesome.
They're like, where'd you get them?
Yeah, it's just, they're super functional. They have a bunch of different sizes. I take stuff for work and mine and bring it to a coffee shop. I mean, they're awesome.
Yeah, guys, so if you're in the market for a backpack, there's all different sizes, all different colors. Head on over to selkirk.com and get yours today. This is a post I saw. I believe it was on a Facebook forum, but let me read it to you and then I kind of want to get your thoughts.
Okay.
So this person says, I am a 5.1 duper, which if you don't know what duper is, it stands for Dynamic Universal Pickleball Rating. It's the most well-known pickleball rating. So this person says, I'm a 5.1, but considering playing a mixed tournament with a 3.3. Sounds like you might like have a crush on this girl or something. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Is it a guy?
It's a guy. Yeah, it's a mixed tournament.
Oh, and that's the guy.
I mean, maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. Maybe it's a 5.1
anyway,
girl that wants to play with a 3.3 guy. But anyways, a 5.1 duper. I do think it was a guy. I remember back reading the post. 5.1 duper wants to play with a 3.3 duper. The two divisions I have a choice of playing in are 4.5 plus, where we would get destroyed. Mm-hmm. Or 4-0, where I could probably take over to win each match. Technically, our combined duper or our average duper is like in between a 4-2 and a 4-3. So he's like, I don't know if I play 4-0 and I can take over and people will get mad that I'm sandbagging. Or I can play 4-5 plus and will get destroyed because my partner is a 3-3. And he says, what do you think the ethical thing to do is here?
So if you're asking me that, I would say it's kind of a lose-lose for you, my dude. Like, what I would say is ethically, I think that you should do 4-5 even if you're going to get creamed. Because again, you're the one that's choosing to play with this person. And so I think that it's, I don't know. I just don't think it's cool to like play down when you know you're a 5-0. Like, even, you know, you shouldn't be playing 4-0, even if your partner is, you know, sweet Betty, that's 3-0, you know? So that's kind of what I would say. I think it's just maybe in, it would just maybe be distasteful. And again, you would just make a lot of people upset. Whereas if you play, you know, up in a sense, then you're just going to make your, it's just going to force you to have to play and, you know, deal with the differentiation between levels. You're more affecting just you rather than your entire pool in the tournament. That's what I would say. What do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of why I brought up, like, why does this person want to play with a 3-3,
Yeah.
like, mixed person? Maybe he has a little crush or something. I don't know. Like, that's the only thing I can think of.
What would you play in, or what would you have him play though?
I would say the same as you, 4-5+, because, yeah, play with somebody different.
Yeah, you're the one that's choosing to play with somebody. It shouldn't be the entire pool that suffers. It should just be you.
Yeah, play with somebody different or go play 4-5 and realize it might be challenging because the combined score of your team isn't.
Yeah, you don't take the combined score. That's just not how it works when you sign up for a tournament. Like, you should play your level.
I'm like, I don't even, again, maybe you just, you're into this person, or maybe you like the person, or they've asked you and you want to do them a favor or something. But yeah, for me, I'm like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to play down. Like, is that even going to be fun for you, to play down? Like, would that even, like, I wouldn't want to go play a 4-0
No,
tournament
I wouldn't either.
with a low level player. Like, that doesn't sound fun for me. Like, I actually would rather, and I've been known to kind of play a division up, even if I do get beat, because I feel like it's fun. I feel like I learn a lot more than going to play down or even at my level. I like to play like just above my level. I think
Yeah.
that's for me personally. So.
I just don't think it's really fair to everybody else in the tournament. You know, again, if you're choosing to play with somebody lower level, that's fine, but then have it just affect you.
Yeah, it's interesting to read some of the comments. This
Yeah,
was one.
give me some snappy comments. I'm sure there's some good
This person
ones.
said, "I think you know what the ethical thing to do is."
What's their name?
William.
William, you tell him.
Don't sandbag, play left-handed.
Play left-handed. That's fine.
Don't sandbag. Yeah. This person actually said, "So this is exactly as if me and my husband played together. He's a 5-0, I'm a 3-5. He wouldn't play. He would never do a 4-0 tournament because that's totally unfair. He would be worried at 4-5+. It would be too dangerous for me, and I'd get targeted and slammed at. So we wouldn't partner. It just doesn't make sense. You know what, Tracy? I think that's a great, I
Tracy
think
knows what's up.
that's a perfect example. Yeah. So that's kind of our little rec play tournament play scenario for you guys. But I'm curious to know in the comments, have you ever been in a tournament where you've come across somebody that clearly shouldn't have been in your division, that's played down? Or maybe kind of sandbagged. I
Have
would
you
love to know.
had any sandbaggers personally in a tournament setting?
I don't know.
I don't think I really have, to be honest.
I think it's mainly, I mean, I think you and I played a 3-5 tournament back in 2019. So since then, I think we've been 4-0 for the next couple of years, then 4-5, then 5-0. Like, I don't think we've really played. I think you're mainly going to come across sandbaggers
Maybe in
when
lower.
you're playing 3-5 or maybe 4-0. When you're playing 4-5 or
Yeah.
5-0, it's kind of hard to sandbag unless there was like a, you're playing a 4-5 tournament and somebody that just won pro qualifiers or
Maybe
something.
in like a money ball or something, you have like a
Yeah. Yeah, but I think
pro
sandbagging
kind.
is probably more common at the when you're playing a 3-5,
Yeah.
4-0. I do hear at like nationals, those golden ticket tournaments, those are the worst.
That's not the people's fault though.
Because people qualify for like this lower
Yeah.
division, and then they have you have
Yeah,
four or five 5-0s
it's just
playing 3-5 to win
the
nationals.
system's messed up. It
Yeah.
doesn't really count.
But anyways, yeah, let us know if you have had any experiences with sandbagging, and what should we do with sandbaggers? Should we publicly shame them? Should we post their picture on the internet?
Comment below.
Anyways, yeah, let us know. Okay, should we go to the last topic of the day?
Yes, let's go to the last topic.
So our last topic of the day is a good one. I'm excited.
So yeah, a lot of people were talking about this. This was all up in arms in social media. Was it last week? But the PPA kind of put something out talking about de-weaponizing the serve. Did you see this?
Yes, I did actually see this.
So go ahead and tell me your thoughts on A. Well, actually, first off, I guess I want to talk about it. So when they were kind of discussing this, was it that the serve could only land in a certain spot of the court?
Yeah, so what I saw is that they were experimenting with potentially putting another line on the court, like basically shrinking the service box.
So that you couldn't serve as deep in the court, right? Because typically in every single game of pickleball from when I started playing till now, a deep serve is a really good serve, right? Because it pushes you, you know, off the line. But, you know, obviously serving has gotten more and more aggressive throughout the years. And now you have these big servers like Deckel and Tyson are two pro players that are known kind of for their serve, that when they're hitting that back part of the court, there's so much power and topspin. It's almost just, it feels, quote, I'm going to just put air quotes here, unfair. And they get a lot of points off their serve. So the PPA kind of was experimenting with putting another line so that it couldn't land as far back in the court.
Yeah. And so I think it's also interesting. This is the same PPA who's governed by the UPAA who has...
Let's take some shots at them right now.
that they've approved all these hot paddles. So like I'm saying, like you're approving all these power paddles and now you're wanting to slow the game down. And I think that's the issue. Is at the higher level when you have a good serve. If you have one of these paddles, your serve can really create this advantage where the return is very difficult. And then if you have a bad return, that person's coming in with that hot paddle and they're ripping a third a drive. And now all of a sudden you're in this bang bang game, and the game's losing that slow nuance. So they're trying to like bring that, you know, back 2019 when we started playing pickleball. Mm-hmm. Or was it 2019?
Yeah, fall 2019 we started.
We started playing 2019. You know, the paddles, like you watch the pro pickleball scene and the game feels much slower. There's these long like dink rallies because there's this nuance and I don't like they don't want to lose kind of the slow nuance like strategic side of pickleball, kind of the finesse side of pickleball. So yeah, let's try to de-weaponize the serve. And I just think this is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I think there's some different ways to do it. Like, I think the worst possible thing you could do would be to
add another line
to shorten the service box or change another line. Think about all the pickleball courts that are already made. Like, think about like it's just the worst possible route. Like to me, I heard Zane actually talk about it a little bit. I agree with what he said. He said, I mean, if you really want, there's two options really. You can go to the drop serve, mm-hmm. and you have to serve dropping the ball and letting it bounce, mm-hmm. or you have to regulate and enforce the current rules harder.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I don't think that the rules are enforced quite that hard.
Yeah,
you remember that not only have they experimented with the line, but they've also have experimented with other things like the height of the ball. You know,
the height of where you could drop the ball.
Like the PPA has been kind of experimenting with de-weaponizing the serve. And I'm just like, there are so many other things that could be regulated better, like paddles,
like your paddle
balls. If you're wanting to slow the game down some. But I think the serve is, I think to me, it's the equivalent to being like, hey, Nolan Ryan, you know, you can never throw a fastball again because your fastball is like really overpowering.
I don't know who Nolan is.
You don't know who Nolan Ryan is? Go ahead and roast her in the comments, please. Only probably
is that a baseball guy?
Probably
the, is that a baseball guy?
The greatest pitcher maybe in baseball history.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Anyways, it would be like telling LeBron you can shoot, you can do everything, okay, but dunk.
There we go.
You can't dunk, or you can only shoot. You can't go to the rim. You can't shoot a layup. You know, so basically it's like you take the best part of someone's game and you're like, you can't do that anymore. And I think that
RIP to Zane's chainsaw serve.
I know. I mean, see, this thing, it all started with him. It all started with de-weaponizing the serve. I'm like, okay, if you go, you know, if you take away the power of a serve, bring back the chainsaw, rest in peace, or the Zane saw.
RIP the Zane saw.
But anyways, I just think, I don't know. I think it's a terrible idea. What do you think?
I mean, I get what they're trying to do. I think that's a terrible way to do it. Again, I'm kind of with Zane. I'm like, okay, like there's very few ways that you can truly regulate it. Like I could see going to the drop serve as a way to regulate it. I do think, you know, but at the same time, I'm like, what about the paddles? The paddles are such an issue to me. Like, why?
Yeah, it's
even
funny.
Even if you'd went to a drop serve and you had that freaking paddle, like
2 years ago, we didn't really, other than the Zane saw and other than the spin serve, we didn't really hear anything about needing to de-weaponize a serve. Why do you think we're having this conversation?
Exactly. You know? So I feel like I'm like, that's clearly an issue I think needs to talk about before putting in another line on the court. I think that's a terrible idea. Again, I get what they're trying to do because what I don't want to see is I don't want it to become like tennis where the serve is like everything and you get a lot of aces. Like that's not fun to watch to me. Again, I'm going to have a bunch of tennis people like, it is fun to watch. Okay, whatever. You can have fun watching people ace each other. I don't want that to be pickleball. So I get the idea of it. I think that adding a line is a very terrible way to execute it.
Yeah. And I don't know. So I just also think like the pickleball court's small enough, like I think we've kind of seen its ceiling. Like, I don't know that we're going to find people that come into the game that have that much better of a serve than the maybe Deckel, maybe is the top server, yeah. Deckel Bar, maybe. Maybe like you take the top three servers in pro pickleball. I don't think we're going to have someone come in that's just that much better. I think we're kind of like the court's only so big, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it's a terrible idea. I think the better way to do it would be to, again, go to a drop serve, yeah. try to find a way to enforce the rules even better. I do agree with Zane. I think the last point I would bring up is there's kind of a snowball effect to this, is there not? Like you slow the serve down, it makes the return easier. If the return's easier, it makes the third shot easier.
You mean harder?
No, if you slow the serve down,
yeah,
it makes it easier to return.
Right, and don't you hit a better return? And then it's harder to hit.
I'm not talking about, I'm talking about easy as in terms of difficulty. If the serve is coming at you slower,
yeah,
is it easier or harder to return the ball?
It's easier to make the return harder for
the
opponent.
I'm not talking about speed. I'm talking about difficulty.
Yeah, okay? It's easier to hit. Yeah, sure, it's easier to hit that return, but then you make your opponent's third shot harder. It doesn't make their third shot easier. See what I'm saying? I lost you.
Okay, anyways. Oh, yeah, you're saying like if the person hits a better return, it makes the third shot harder.
Yes.
So yeah, I do see that, but I guess you're right. I guess you're right. To me, it just like messes up the rhythm of constructing a pickleball point.
Yeah. It just makes it, again, I think pickleball was designed to favor the returning team, right? And so what happens when you have these big serves is now it's actually advantageous to serve than to return. And that's where I feel like the game gets messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us what you think. What do you think about the serves in pickleball? And honestly, I am really curious, especially for those of you who maybe don't play tournaments. I want to hear from even our rec community. Do you guys encounter this in rec play, like people having crazy serves? Because I do think that it's typically more of your tournament players. But again, that's the world that I'm maybe more in. There hasn't been a lot of rec situations that I'm like, whoa, like I'm overwhelmed by this serve. I had it once with this guy that played with a delaminated paddle, and that made me very mad. But I would love to know what your guys' thoughts are on de-weaponizing the serve. Do you think that's an issue in tournaments? And then also, do you think it's an issue in rec play that you see? Again, I don't really know. I haven't really seen it, but I would love to know what you think.
Yep. I'm good with that. Sorry. I just got an important message. But yeah, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection.
Really quick, if you guys are listening on a, a platform like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, can you do us a huge favor and rate this 5 stars? If you're going to rate it anything below 5 stars, hold on and wait till another episode because we want to convert you to a 5-star person. But reviewing us really helps our, you know, podcast and yes. helps awareness and stuff like that. So it would truly mean the world to go do that. And remember, if you guys want a question answered in one of our future podcasts, go ahead and comment those down below. That is a segment that we'll do when we get questions. So thanks so much for hanging out with us.
We'll see you on the next one, guys.
See ya.